She's sharp, pointed, and insightful. This is Stacy on the Right on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Two Christian artists in Arizona could face jail time if they refuse to make custom artwork for same-sex weddings. The business owners are challenging a local anti-discrimination ordinance that they say goes against their religious values. The Arizona Supreme Court just announced it will hear their case in January.
To create chaos within the election, but certainly not that they actually impacted it. The only reason that the president is the president is because he was a better candidate and beat Hillary Clinton. We also know that the president never colluded with Russia. So that's the whole reason that we have this, and we know those things to be false.
100%. Because when you ask voters, when Trump talks about a wall, do you think he means a physical border wall, or do you think he means enhanced border security that will include a wall in part, but will also include stepped up surveillance? Democrats think he's talking a wall. Republicans, a majority of them, think it's kind of this mix.
Now, Stacy Washington.
Welcome to the show. It's Christmas. I'm so excited about it. I cannot believe how wonderful it is to be alive yet again for another Christmas season. And as I see people moving about, you know, being busy, getting stuff done, and really kind of, just enjoying the opportunity to be alive and to have Christmas, it's a blessing. It's a total blessing. And so I'm not saying I don't care what's in the news. I do. But I do care more about celebrating this season and being grateful and full of gratitude for the opportunity that we have as Americans here in our country to just partake of really an outsized amount of prosperity, the goodness and mercy of the Lord, and fellowship with each other. And that means, I mean, I'm talking about everybody, the people who annoy me and the ones that I love to be around equally. I'm just excited to see everybody. And that's the goodness of the Lord, because I don't have that naturally within myself. That's something that the Lord is doing, and I'm so grateful for it. Welcome to the program. It's Stacy on the Right here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. And we have a beautiful show programmed for you today. We are going to be speaking with a number of guests. We're going to speak to Paris Denard, and we're going to be chatting with him about news of the day, et cetera, et cetera. And then we're also going to talk about the one disastrous crime, according to Newt Gingrich, is one disastrous crime that the Democrats are that just, they're on the edge of something like that happening with an illegal immigrant or something of that nature, from them looking bad for their stance that they're taking, which really supports lawlessness. And then, of course, you heard a little tease there of the Christians who are facing a huge fine and jail time for refusing to do artwork for gay weddings, homosexual weddings, same-sex weddings. And so, this is happening in America. Remember when these stories were things we used to talk about and they were coming from over the pond? It was Great Britain and other countries that were, you know, on the leading edge of this thing, Canada. And we'd say, oh yeah, you know, that's happening over there. Though those people are, you know, engaging in that. Now we're here in America and people are being driven out of their businesses. And I can't imagine why anyone who's a Christian and is in the art world of any kind in the service industry would live in someplace like Oregon. Like, why would you do it? Like, why wouldn't you immediately just pack up and start over again, preemptively striking out against what is going to happen with these people? So I want to get into the Daily Confession for today. And I just can't get enough of the goodness of the Lord and how he, in his wisdom and be all-knowing, all-seeing, omniscient, Alpha Omega self, has the ability to work around our human failings. And so he knows already that we're going to fail, but he makes provision for that, enabling us to still accomplish what he has for us to do. And so today's Daily Confession is God can and will use us to fulfill his purposes even after we fall. Now, this does not contradict my comments about pastors and others who, you know, they're in leadership and then they fall from grace and sometimes are forced to leave ministry. It doesn't mean that they still don't have work to do for God and they can't be redeemed, but that's a different conversation. What I'm talking about is here in personal world, personal land, and and knowing that we're not perfect. And even when we set the highest of standards for ourselves, we miss the mark. So Romans 4, 13 through 22 says, "It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations.' He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness." Now, what am I talking about here? Well, when God told Abraham that he would be a father of many nations, he was already old. He didn't tell him this when he was still young and there were still possibilities. He was already old. His wife was already old and they were barren. Now, this work was already done. God told Abraham, "I have done. I have made you the father of many nations." It's similar to when Joshua was going into battle with the Israelites, the mighty men of valor, against the people in the promised land. And he was not sure of what was going to happen. And God came to him and said, "I have already given them into your hand." So this was already a done deal, but he had to walk it out. Now, this speaks to the covenant that is between God and us. An everlasting covenant that was confirmed with Abraham and all those who would come from him. Hosea 2, 19 through 20 says, "I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice. In love and compassion, I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord." This everlasting covenant, it goes on forever. It's also proof, the story of Abram and Sarai, who came to be known as Abraham and Sarah, is also proof that even when we fall, God still has provision for us to satisfy and accomplish what he has set out for us to do. So the fact that Sarah told Abraham to impregnate their slave to bring about this fulfillment of what God had told him he would do, and they were outside of God's will, and that was sin, and that was not what God had for them. They had Ishmael. Abraham enjoyed him and was his father. And he was 13 years old, Ishmael was, before they actually had their own child. But none of the things that they did that were outside of what God had for them prevented God from still utilizing them to accomplish his will. And so this goes for, let's take, for example, what we were discussing yesterday, President Trump. And he's had extramarital affairs, and he's these things make us ineffectual. The Bible tells us that. But it doesn't mean, even look at David. David had Bathsheba and that horrible little, you know, portion of his life where he was outside of God's will. God still used him. We can still be used of God even in the midst of our failings. And so the encouragement and the confession for us today is that, yeah, we're running after righteousness. We're looking for obedience. But if we're in the valley, or if we're in the place where our decisions, our actions are catching up with us, and we feel like, you know, there's no way God can ever use me. I'm broken. I'm done. No, that's not so. That is not so. God can still use us to fulfill his purposes, and he will. Whatever your mark is, whatever the goal is that you're shooting towards, that you've been loosed from the quiver, you are that arrow, you're going forward. Whatever it is that you're called to do, you're still going to accomplish that through Christ, the work of Christ on the cross, and the forgiveness and redemption that we can receive as God's children. this everlasting covenant would be to Abraham and his descendants, those to whom righteousness has been credited as a result of their faith in God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead. So this is Gentile believers as well, and to those who, through faith in the seed of Abraham, which is Christ Jesus, would become a part of the people of God. So today, whatever it is that God has for you to do, you can still accomplish it. All we have to do is repent and turn away from our sin and keep moving towards that mark. God uses all of us, the broken pots, the chipped shards of vessels. We're none of us that perfect, little untouched, beautiful little creation. We're all fallen and we're all in need of a savior. But once we've struck out and received Christ, now we're on the way to accomplishing what God has for us to do. And so we cannot become discouraged. We cannot give up on the work that God has called us to do. So going into, you know, the Christmas, actual Christmas season, where we had just a few days left until we actually celebrate, I want encouragement. I want people to feel uplifted and excited, and knowing that going out of this year, going out strong, going into the new year strong, that God has work for you to do. He has work for me to do. And we are able to do it through Christ Jesus. And there's nothing that can keep us from what God has for us. We need only believe and have faith and know that the covenant exists and that it is for us. It is between God and us, and we can do it. So that's a daily confession for today. So now I want to turn to some audio from Newt Gingrich. It's pretty interesting that he is calling out the fact that the Democrats are all dancing a jig. Literally, there's video of Nancy Pelosi over at the Gateway Pundit kicking up her heels and cutting a little mean rug to some guitar music by one of the outgoing Democratic reps. And she's in victory mode. She feels like she has defeated President Trump on the wall. There'll never be a wall. She's going to be the speaker. Things are looking up for her. But the Bible says not to covet the spoils of the wicked, because they're not keeping that. No, they don't keep that. So here's Newt Gingrich talking about what could be a really real possibility for the Democrats. It's number four.
Well, and they may win for 2 weeks, but I think the president's probably trying to get past the Christmas season. I've always thought, having been through shutdowns when I was speaker, I don't think shutting the government down on Christmas Eve is a particularly big win for anybody. And I think it's a pain in the neck for the hundreds of thousands of families that are affected directly by it. So the president has not given up yet. And I do think the issue of whether the Democrats, you know, they're one really disastrous crime away from looking really bad. There are problems with people coming to the U.S. illegally. There are people who commit crimes who come to the U.S. illegally. MS-13 is a threat.
Right.
And I think for the Democrats to decide they don't want to protect America is a tough position for them to take.
That's right. Emboldening the enemies of America, which is what they've done with their little, they have the little activists who've gone down to El Salvador and Honduras and ginned up these caravans. We've now seen a little, illegal immigrant child die from heat exhaustion. And there are others who are being treated. They're very ill because the journey has been very long. And I also saw a story about the reason why, because you would think, if you look at the geography, if you just pull out a map, pull up your Google, whatever, you'll see that when you're coming from South America, the most direct route to the United States that brings you to our border the most expeditiously takes you right to the heart of Texas. But that's not the best place to enter because of the laws of Texas and because of the way enforcement is handled there. So, and there's not a friendly court system there. So if you get into the country, the courts there are most likely to turn you around and send you back. But in California, you're governed by the Ninth Circuit, which means you're going to get in and you're going to get to stay and disappear into the interior of the country. And California is a sanctuary state. So that's why they make the extra 1,400-mile journey to get there instead of just going 1,000 miles to Texas. This is not an accidental occurrence. When we get back, we're going to have more for you. Stay right there.
Thank you.
Here's American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Lynn Ingram and Jim Duncan, two Texans, support and believe in our ministry here at AFA and AFR.
We know more about the laundry business than anything else. We know a little bit about a lot of things, but we know a lot about the laundry and dry cleaning business.
They created a laundry detergent to sell to folks to support AFA.
We just want to be able to provide a product that can be used by AFA to support the ministry.
When you wash your family's clothes with Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent, you can take great satisfaction in knowing that you're supporting the vital work of the American Family Association. It's a unique way to increase your giving to AFA. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more about the Redeem Clean products when you visit redeemclean.afastore.net.
Hi, I'm Crawford LaRitz with a Legacy Moment. Remember the old I love you computer virus? When you opened the I love you email, it proceeded to bring down your system with a vengeance. It promised love, but it delivered destruction. It never was what it claimed to be. Are we who we claim to be? Whenever there's disunity in the body of Christ, it's like a computer virus. It destroys the system and the integrity of what we do from within. God's heart is for us to be one just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Jesus prayed that prayer in John chapter 17. It's a passionate plea. Remember, he's getting ready to die on the cross. He's talking to God the Father, and in this prayer, he's talking about his followers and the future followers of Christ. Listen to his plea for unity in John chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Incredible. People can see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit through the body of Christ. The signature of God is unity. This is why the devil takes his biggest shots at the unity of the body of Christ. He wants to project to this unbelieving world, look at these folks. They talk about love, but they don't possess the real thing. Well, here's what I want you to remember today. We must be aggressive in resolving conflicts and breaking down barriers that divide us. Let's move toward the heart of God. Let's be the answer to Jesus' prayer for unity.
More information about the ministry of Crawford LaRitz can be found online at livingalegacy.org. Join Crawford tomorrow for another Legacy Moment.
You can download episodes of Stacy on the Right from the podcast page on AFR.net or UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Now, back to the show on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Nancy Pelosi is my source for legal authority on probably anything, but I would use attorneys that work here at the White House and in agencies that that's their entire job is determining whether or not something is legal, and we're looking to those individuals to find out specific pots of money that can be used for that.
A bonus amount of money that is sort of reprogrammed by Congress won't be necessary for the president's signature on this budget bill.
We would like to see Congress pass an appropriations bill that fully funds our government and that allows the president to protect our border and provides substantial border security funding, both for the wall, for CBP, for ICE, all of DHS. But in the meantime, we're also looking at other avenues that would allow us to provide and do our constitutional authority and the president to be able to carry that out by protecting our border and protecting American citizens. I'd encourage you guys to tune in to the president's event. We'll talk to you. Thanks,
God. So the big news for today over all of that is that the president has now come out and he said he's going to veto the wall. A shutdown is now looming. Now, look, everybody was frustrated yesterday. It seemed like there was bad news over bad news over bad news. And when the Democrats said there was no way he was getting that money, not that money, his money, he's not getting the money for his wall because this is personal for them. This is it's failed to be about keeping Americans safe or safe. They say they want to serve immigrants. These are not immigrants. They're unlawful entrants. They're aliens and they're lawbreakers. But regardless of how you feel about them, serving them doesn't involve allowing them to camp out in disease-filled stadiums along the southern border on the Mexico side. And it also doesn't permit in any way, shape, or form the kind of rhetoric that we've seen from people on the left. They are bent on putting America in a position where we cannot sustain ourselves. That's what the Fed chair hiking the rates is all about. He wants to tank the stock market. He wants to erase the gains that have been made since the tax reform worked so well. Proof that tax reform works, that lower taxes and less regulation works, goes right up against the socialist mantra. And the globalists want this country under the control of an autocracy that is atheistic. They don't want people having religious freedom or the right to own guns. They're not interested in you, starting your own business and becoming economically free. They want you tethered to the government. They want you on the brink. If you're upset and unable to take care of yourself, you're more easily controlled. A populace that's making money and hiring other people in this country and doing business here and abroad and shipping products all over the world, a populace that knows that if I have a great idea, I can bring it to fruition. I can throw in with my neighbors, with my Bible study group at church, and we can get some seed money together and I can start this business. I can start selling stuff on Etsy. And in 5 years, I can have my own standalone storefront where I'm selling my stuff and I'm my own boss. That kind of empowerment, I can play Christian music in my workplace. I can set my little store up like an extension of my home with Christian scriptures on the wall, and moms that homeschool can have their kids in a couple days a week to work and learn entrepreneurship. That's not what they want. They want you looking at them and coveting their red jacket, Nancy Pelosi's red coat. They want you to look at her and see her as someone who's above us and untouchable, and she's someone that we need to look up to and admire. I'm even pulling back off of that. Who am I to admire that's an earthly vessel? No one. I have had a complete reversal on that this year. If there's anything we ought to know, if we want to be properly matured in Jesus Christ and to be properly disillusioned, is that there really aren't any human beings that are worth us admiring. We should reserve that kind of feeling and fervor for our Lord and Savior. And everyone else, that's someone who's trustworthy or they're not. But the kind of lofty acclamations that we make about each other set us up for failure. And it's also, especially on the left, I see a lot of, it's gone beyond hero worship. It's as if, the joke was Donald Trump could shoot someone on the streets of New York and his followers wouldn't care. And he even repeated it jokingly. I'm not sure that he meant that. And it became something that was associated with people on the right side of the political spectrum. But the fact is, data from across society shows that people on the right are more law-abiding and more fearful of law enforcement, and therefore less likely to commit crimes and do all of this garbage than people who ascribe to the Democrats' philosophies. It's not even close. So we have an opportunity. We always do. And I'm reserving judgment. I was pretty frustrated and disappointed yesterday. I'm not going to lie. And I'm sure you could hear that coming off during the show. But I'm waiting to see. Yesterday, William Geen was on the show and he said, the president has made a lot of statements. Like he said, he'd end birthright citizenship. And he said it just before the election. Now we've heard nothing about it again, et cetera, et cetera. This story here is from CNBC.com. It talks about the Senate unanimously approving legislation Wednesday night to keep the government funded through February 8th, which, again, we're just hop, skip, and jumping, December to February. Then they have this big looming fight again, and they'll be threatening to shut stuff down again instead of having the regular budget appropriations process, which we have not had since Barack Obama. But, if wishes were rainbows and et cetera. With Trump's support, this legislation that was approved in the Senate was set to breeze through the House before the midnight Friday deadline to fund seven agencies that make up, it says, about a quarter of the government. I thought it was like 13%, but be that as it may, it's not the whole government at all. It's not a shutdown that would shut down the entire government, not in the least. So Trump, who seeks $5 billion to build his proposed border wall, will refuse to sign the measure without his desired border security funding included. And this is according to Paul Ryan, outgoing, you know, king of budget busting appropriations, and another one who makes a lot of promises he can't keep and is secretly, openly a globalist. Someone who thinks, you know, what do we need borders for? I just need a brick wall around my house. You know that he has a brick wall around his house, a wall. He doesn't think we should have one at the southern border, but Paul Ryan has a wall around his house, probably to protect his beautiful little children and his wife, which I totally respect. I just don't understand why we as a country can't do that. So then a statement by Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, we urgently need funding for border security, and that includes a wall. Now, this article says the path forward for Congress is unclear, and there's a conservative member rebellion against the spending bill that they were trying to head off earlier today. And House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer flatly said Democrats would not approve money for the barrier. Now, Ryan took to the floor and was standing next to House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy and said that leaders are going to go back to the House and work with our members on a solution that includes border security funding. Now, I'm not sure why he would come out and even discuss anything that doesn't include border funding, because all of the members of the House that were elected in 2016 were brought in or reelected under the auspices of funding a border wall. That was the key component to the campaign for the presidency under Donald Trump. So the Republican Party platform, everything that was being said on the Republican side, the wall was central to that. They are still there up until December. Those are the members that were there that were elected in 2016 who came in with the president. And so there should be none of them that are quibbling over finding a way to get this done. And this is where we should have our little pens out and our little notepads, and we should be writing down for our districts, because it's hard enough to keep track of everything. But fortunately for us, we only have to worry about the ones that we can vote for. So I wouldn't be worried about Paul Ryan, because obviously he's gone. He's done. But anyone who's incoming, who votes against wall funding, anyone who is there because they were elected in 2016 or they've been reelected in 2018, anyone who's going to be there after January, you look at the ones from your district, where you vote, and the ones who don't support funding the wall and the president's agenda, those are not team players. Those ones have to go next time. You just write that on your note, and you put that note on your computer monitor, or put it in your notes and put it on the calendar for 2 years from, actually less than 2 years, because we're talking about November of 2020. So, you know, when they start coming around, as they will, they'll be door knocking. They'll have their teenage and college age students out knocking doors with their t-shirts on. They'll be sending you emails. They'll be asking for donations. You can tell your state party you're supporting in the primary. You can say that you're in the primary. We have two candidates, and one of them has already shown that they don't support the president's agenda. So whether or not the president is reelected, this person cannot be reelected, and I will not donate to the state party, nor will I donate to their campaign, because they don't support border security. Until we start doing that, we're going to continue to get these nincompoops running around, and they claim they're there on our behalf, and they're definitely getting paid by our tax dollars, but they're not doing anything. They are literally getting paid to do nothing. And I think we don't see that. I mean, have you ever ordered something and went to go pick it up, and the person is sitting around chatting, and then when you say, I'm here to pick up so-and-so, they'll say, oh, we haven't had time to do that. But they had time to sit there and talk. They could have been working on what they were supposed to be doing for you, but instead they were sitting around talking, and now they're complaining, well, whatever you want, whatever you'd like to do, you know, getting smart and having an attitude. And you're thinking, why am I doing business with this place? Why am I giving these people my money? This person does not even do their job. That is what we're talking about with these elected officials. Only they're not minimum wage workers. They're not at Walgreens in the photo department. They're in the houses of Congress, owned by us, paid for by us, our money, our buildings, our paper, all that stuff they're using, our electricity, and they won't even do the simple things. And it's not as if any of them are going to get voted out if they do fund the border wall. If they stand up to the Democrats, no, none of them are going to get hurt. It's not like they're getting beat up after Congress in the halls or anything, like the Democrats are bullying them physically. They might be doing some pretty severe mental warfare. They might be calling them names and doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, you saw the images of, it was Dianne Feinstein had Lisa Murkowski pushed into the recess of a wall and was towering over her with her arm up against the top of the ceiling. Like, it was just bizarre. And Murkowski should have said, get out of my way. And if she wouldn't just push right past her and kept on moving, she didn't have to stand there and take that from her. Does she own her? I mean, I don't understand any of that. I don't understand that dynamic at all. And it's not because I'm 6 feet 2 inches tall that I don't understand that. I don't understand it because there isn't anybody who's a grown person who should allow another grown person who isn't using force of, you know, they're not armed. If they're not armed, why would you allow someone who's the same size as you to bully you into a corner in a recess when you're a sitting member of Congress? Why? Why not just say, oh, I can't talk to you right now. Oop, I want to talk to you, but I can't. I'm sorry, I don't really want to talk to you. I got to go. And then just keep on going. You know, just keep walking. The Capitol Police are stationed in different parts of the Capitol building. She should have just walked up to one and said, I'm sorry, but she keeps on touching me. She keeps pushing me into recesses. Could you just escort me to my office real quick or escort me to my car? That's what they're there for. So we have to start doing our job. If they won't do their job, it's our job not to send them back there. And this is something for us to pray over the Christmas holidays. It's something for us to start to commit ourselves to thinking about, because it takes courage to stand up to wrongdoers. And I know we're courageous. I know we have Annas in this audience, prayer warriors. I know we have people who are there. Your position is one of, you are constantly going to the Lord and saying, you know what, God, I know this isn't your will. Have your will. Have your way here. You're there already. Now we need that extra step, which is the courage to walk that out. Come out of our prayer closets, because we have to be in there first. Then come on out and start walking this thing out. You got friends who are bullying you and telling you, well, Donald Trump is an evil man and he's this and he's that. And then what do you say in response? You could just say, I'm sorry, we can't talk politics because we're too far apart and there's no way that we're going to come together. And so in order for us to enjoy each other's company, we should just talk about things that, you know, make sense. And if they say, well, what do you mean we're too far apart? You're radicalized. You believe things that aren't true and you're not willing to listen to the opposing side. So let's not talk about it. That's how you have to handle that. Just sitting quietly and allowing them to browbeat you and say bad things about Donald Trump and other Republicans, it's not okay anymore. That's not the tack we can take anymore. It's time for us to pick up our swords. It's time for us to start acting like we know what right and wrong is, and we know we're on the right side, and we know we're doing what God would have us to do, or if we're not, that we're going to start doing what God has for us to do, and to start defending our positions. Because it's going to be time at some point to come off of defense and go on to offense. That is where we're supposed to be. Arrows are not exclusively defensive weapons. God describes us as arrows in the quiver. Arrows in the quiver. So you can defend yourself, but you can also launch an onslaught with an arrow. If you're in the aggressive posture and you have the high ground, an arrow is an offensive weapon fit to take down almost any enemy. And you know, God doesn't lie. He doesn't put things in the Bible and say, well, you know, that's kind of what that means. It doesn't really mean that. I mean, it's like arrows figuratively. It's not. No, that's not how God operates. It's not how the Bible is written. Time and time again in the Bible, you see, when God says, go out there and wipe it out, and the Israelites would go riding on in. And remember, the Bible describes the Israelites as being very, they're like almost miniature people. They're small in stature. You know, they're not to demean or anything, but they're just not the biggest of people. If one of them is very, very tall, it's like a unique thing. So they would always go out into battle and be going against people who were much bigger than themselves. In fact, the Philistines were giants and they took them down. That one of the tiniest ones of them, David, as a little boy, got some smooth stones and was like, I serve the Most High. I'm taking him down. That's the attitude we should be praying for. We want to be like David. We want to have the absolute assurance down in our belly that we're serving God and that he goes before us. And when he says, run it down, burn it all down, destroy it, lay waste, it's already in your hand. It's already in your hand. It's behind you. Go forward and do it. It's time for us to start governing these elected officials. What more can we do? We hold the highest office in the land as citizens in a representative republic. When we get back, we'll have more for you. Stay right there.
does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
Too often I hear people say that they will make a difference later, once they've accomplished more, once they have more free time, once the kids are grown and gone. Don't let your age, your experience, or the call of success get in the way of your mission to touch the world for good. You're in a unique place that no one else occupies. Your family, your friends, and your workplace are all spheres of influence. Mentor leaders don't wait. They look for opportunities to get involved in the lives of people. If you pursue mentor leadership, God will ultimately use you for His good. Every platform you have is important in God's eyes.
Tony Dungy, author of the popular Uncommon book series. Discover more at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
Listen to Stacy on the Right with Stacy Washington on Urban Family Talk. She's sharp.
I mean, did you hear that?
Pointed.
Remember that you're not only a Christian on Sunday.
And insightful.
Deception and lies have been accepted as the norm from the Democrats.
But most of all, she's on the right.
That scripture from the Bible that says the heart of the fool inclines to the left just kept popping into my mind.
Stacy on the Right, now heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Hi, I'm Larry Nix with Defining Moments. Join me every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. on Urban Family Talk. We talk to people of all ages, stages, phases, and places. From all walks of life, background, and cultures, about serious matters, life-altering encounters, second chances, and even how to face life moving forward. Sometimes you hear us get emotional, sometimes you hear us laugh. But more importantly, you hear the truth that will set you free. All on Defining Moments every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. on Urban Family Talk.
This is Just a Minute with Stacy Washington. Whenever a power-hungry activist wants to infringe upon religious liberty, they refer to the separation of church and state, an evil concept created by an activist judge to limit Christian participation in public life. While God does limit the spheres of influence controlled by the church and state, His limitations lead to more liberty. God is head over all and is unsurprised by the goings-on in our society and politics. He has ordained that free men would control their homes, the church, and the state. There is no separation. When godly men rule, the people rejoice. But when evildoers control a nation, citizens groan and wail. There is no substitute for the proper order of our lives and government under God's planning and direction. When Christians pull back, evil flourishes. The Bible mandates Christian influence in government, politics, and public life. It's up to us. I'm Stacy Washington. Find out more at stacyontheright.com.
This is Stacy on the Right with Stacy Washington on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
We did. We filed in state court challenging Phoenix's ordinance. It actually threatens to put them in jail for 6 months for every day they violate this ordinance. 6 months as well as onerous civil penalties. So they really had no choice but to file this action rather than wait and have to fight it from jail.
Okay, so you lost at the state level, and now it's going to the Supreme Court, and Supreme Court's agreed to hear it in January. What can we expect then?
I'm hoping that we can expect the court to reverse the lower court, because what's at issue here is whether artists and other Americans can be banished from the marketplace just because they disagree with the government's view. And it really transcends the marriage issue. It's any view. Artists cannot be coerced to express messages that violate their core convictions, no matter what side of the debate they're on.
So that is the attorney for the young women who run, it's like a calligraphy shop where they do wedding invitations and they do other types of things as well. So the shop does a number of artistic endeavors. And if you come in there and you're a same-sex person, you want to throw a party for something or you want to order some of their products for something, you're welcome to do so. It's only the wedding products, the wedding arm of their business, that they won't use their creative talents to do work for weddings. So they're preemptively filing suit to stop themselves from falling under this new law that would basically say 6 months in jail for every day that you refuse to make wedding products. And that's anyone in the wedding industry for this story. It is so smart. It's so smart for us to see that happening and for them to get out ahead of it with the Alliance Defending Freedom.
taking the case. They've been successful in the past. And so I'm excited to see them do that. And I want to point out that what they're doing is what I was describing last segment. That's courageous, them going out in front. They didn't say outright that they're willing to go to jail, but they're saying they want to prevent that from even being a possibility by filing suit before this can even go into effect and others can be impacted by it. So they're not going to wait for this this governing body to try to run them out of business or put each of them in jail for 6 months for every day they refuse. They're getting out ahead of it and saying, yes, let's figure this thing out lawfully and legally before we're under pain of losing our business. Smart to do. So that's the first part. Now, and I'm not sure if we just listen to number one or number two. Bear with me. I've got a lot going on here. But we have number two that we're supposed to be listening to next. I'm looking at my software here for my producer. So I want to take some calls. Okay, perfect. That was number one. I want to take some calls. It's 866-963-2037. 866-963-2037. Let's take some calls after we listen to the conclusion where the ADF attorney explains the bankrupt race same-sex marriage comparison. And this is one to file away for your knowledge base. If you can explain this to someone, you may not change their mind, but they can understand that you're coming from a reasoned, well-thought-out perspective on the reason why same-sex marriage rights and same-sex, you know, all that stuff has no comparison to innate characteristic civil rights, such as those given to Black people because of previous wrongdoings that were enshrined in law by America, that used to be the law of the land here. This is number two.
Well, absolutely, we understand it, and it's just flat wrong. If the free speech guarantees mean anything, they protect the author's pen and the painter's brush. And this old, tired analogy to race is just a bankrupt analogy that the Supreme Court has rejected not once, but twice in the Obergefell same-sex marriage decision, as well as in the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision.
All right.
They serve everyone. They don't express all messages, and that's a critical distinction.
So this is something that I love it when we have attorneys who know that they're biblically based and they're assured that they're in the right because they've studied and they know the law and they know the case law that is appropriate here. And this attorney from ADF is explaining that if someone says, I will not serve same-sex people. So, you know, if you're in a same-sex relationship and you come in and you want to buy food, I'm not going to serve you. That is unlawful discrimination. But if you come in and you buy cakes and cookies and I'll do one for your birthday, I'll do one for any occasion except anything having to do with your wedding, now you're in a different territory. You've not been discriminated against, especially since all of the wedding businesses that have been impacted by these rulings have a referral system where they know another cake shop that will do equally beautiful work for this couple that doesn't have the same biblical mandate against doing the work. And so this has over and over again been the case where the Christian business will refer the same-sex couple to another baker who will do beautiful work for them. And what they say is, no, you bow down, Christian. You are not going to send us someplace else. You will serve us in this way. You will endorse our marriage. You will go against what you believe as a Christian because our rights to have sexual relations with whoever we want and so-called marry them, because it's not a real marriage. Marriage is a union between a man and a woman in the sight of God. So it's a triune bond, just like the Godhead. Anything other than that is just not marriage. When they say, you're going to serve us, what they're really saying is, you're going to renounce that belief that you have. Because in the end, who are they serving? Who are they serving? Mm-hmm. That's right. They're not serving God. There's only one. You can only go one way or the other. Am I right? Are there three or four different ways, or is there one versus the other? There's good, there's evil, there's right, there's wrong, there's truth, there's lies, there's Satan, and then there's God. Okay. All right. So that's good news that they're going to take this on and really jump ahead of the curve and do this. And I hope that they're successful. We'll have to pray that they will be successful. but they're an example of what I'm going for in this program today. Not only are we not to be discouraged and not to be downtrodden and not to allow what looks like a bunch of kind of bad news this week to drag us down, but we are also to take a proactive stance going out with, because the Lord goes before us, and taking the land. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And so I'm glad that they're doing that. So let's go to the phones. We have Monty in Virginia. Hey, Monty, thanks for calling the show today.
Stacy, I'll try to be very brief, but you are fast becoming a Sandy Rios, one of my favorite broadcasters early in the morning. And I just wanted to thank you, wish you a Merry Christmas, and just pray that this Trump wall, we can call it anything we want, but when you get on the topic about this borderline, it is ridiculous. I'm a fundraiser, F-U-N-raiser, and a fundraiser that I know that we can go put bumper stickers on every car. We want the wall now. Put something together. You can go out and sell bumper stickers and all kinds of fundraising. And I promise you, Stacy, just like your wonderful broadcast, we, the people, can build that wall, bypass the senators and House of Representatives. They are absolutely taking money under the table, becoming millionaires, and do not represent great Tupelo, Mississippi people like you. God bless you.
They don't. God bless you. Merry Christmas, Monty. I got to say, that's quite the compliment. Sandy Rios is an institution here at American Family Radio. So that's, thank you. Thank you for saying that. She's a powerhouse on in the morning and really, really fun to listen to. She's very informative, and I'm so glad to be here among the folks at American Family Radio. Very grateful. The call lines are still open. We still have we have a few minutes where we can take some calls. 866-963-2037, 866-963-2037. Even if you don't agree, if you feel like, you know, kind of all is lost and the president has been left to stand alone, I'd rather see him stand up alone and say, you know what, I made promises. And if I have to shut the government down to do it, and I'm only shutting down like a little less than a quarter of the government, then so be it, I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'd rather see him do that and honor his commitment than go down and say, well, you know, Paul Ryan won't support it and the Democrats are taking over in January. Yeah, that's right. They're taking over in January. Call them back. Bring the congressman back. They've already went home for Christmas. Y'all know, I said at the beginning of the show, I love me some Christmas. In fact, I have the little White House Christmas ornament collection. And last year's obviously was the first Christmas ornament that was under the Trump White House. And Trump is all about the bling. And so his White House Christmas ornament for 2017 was just, it's like really fancy. Well, this year, the 2018 ornament, I couldn't wait to see if my parents were going to get it. So I ordered it and it just came in the mail and it is so gorgeous. I will post it on my Instagram. You can go there and look at it. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable how cute they are. Now, all of them are nice. They're not expensive. So I'm not talking about anything like this is not like some collector thing that'll be worth millions of dollars one day. It won't. You can buy them secondhand on eBay. It's like, but it's just a thing if you like them. And so I've been collecting them since my parents started giving them to me and my husband as a Christmas gift years ago when we first got married. They gave us one and they were like one of your first ornaments for the tree. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. Because my family lives in the metro DC area, my parents and my sister. And one of our big things to do as a family is to go to the White House. And we've been on the FBI agent tour 6 times, you know, where you get to go through the regular tour of the White House. And then you get to go down some special hallways with the special agent. And they give you some extra, it's just a little bit of extra access. And it's really nice to be able to do. And you can go through your congressperson or your senator and state senator to get one of those tours as well. It's not something that just no one can get. Anyone can do them. So we've done that tour a bunch of times. And so that's part of it is like my parents giving us those ornaments. And I it's one of those things where you kind of look at it and you're like, well, you know, I do love me some Christmas. And so I would hate to be the person who's suggesting that Congress people shouldn't be at home for Christmas. But you know what? You got a job to do. And you should have funded the wall back when y'all had control. And now you're in the lame duck. And if you have to do some procedural maneuvers, which is what the Democrats call it, so be it. Answer your promise. Do what you said you were going to do. Fund the wall. You were giving $10 billion, $11.4 billion, I think is the specific number, to South America. $5 billion of that will go to Mexico. And we're doing that because we don't need congressional appropriations to do it. Don't tell me there's not a way. As someone who used to study the Robert's Rules of Order book for the little mom's groups I was in, we used Robert's Rules, and then I was on school board and we used Robert's Rules of Order. There are ways to get around. No. The Democrats are so good at it, they've patented it. Why can't the Republicans do it? Take off your sweater vests, pick up your swords, and figure out how to fund this wall. The president needs the money. The American people want to see it done. Don't believe these CNN polls. They're nothing. They're not true. All right, let's do quick. We got time for two quick calls. Sue in Tennessee, thank you so much for calling the show today.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. Didn't hardly expect to get through. I wanted to talk a little bit about some things that you were talking about yesterday. There was some comments made about people that were pastors and leaderships in churches, and they weren't able to manage their families. Mm. Was that one of the topics that we were discussing yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Oh, right. I have painfully been on the side of this, and in the way that we had a family member who was prodigal and came to want forgiveness. But throughout all of the situation, it affected my husband to the point of depression, to the point of discouragement, and to the point of a resignation. And it just seems very, very hard, because we want to chastise and use the scriptures to judge when we don't know the heart of the people involved. And it just hurts to be lumped into a bunch where you're always feeling like you're being criticized. And yet you have raised your children, you have taught them scripture, you have done your best to admonish them, but when they become adults, and I'm not talking about teenagers, I'm talking about adults, they make choices on their own.
Mm. Sue, thank you so much for calling. And I agree with you that the adult kids, there's nothing you can do. You cannot control your adult children. You can pray for them. But I think that the people who were commenting yesterday were speaking about pastors who have children still in the home. And I don't think it was a blanket statement to kind of condemn all pastors. It was obviously directed towards those who've had, you know, some very, very difficult situations with their kids. And it doesn't mean that a pastor who has, you know, a couple of wayward kids or whatever the case might be is a bad person. But the Bible says that those that would lead us in the church should be above reproach, and that their own household should be well managed and under control. And so that's what they're talking about. And so my heart goes out to you. I don't want to in any way seem like I'm condemning specific people other than what we were talking about yesterday during the discussion. And I think callers were just speaking out of frustration, because when you're going to the church house and you're looking for preaching, teaching, and leadership, you're looking for discipleship, and the person who is, you know, in charge of that and is supposed to be giving that to you, they can't adequately give that to you because they've got their own things going on. It takes away from what the body can receive. And that's why God calls for those who lead to be, of no reproach, unreproachable. We have some callers. I'm going to ask you to hold on. We want to talk to you, especially about this border wall issue. We'll be back with more after this. If you're leaving us now, we get it. 1 hour on AFR. And we're grateful for it. You will have One News Now, news and information up next. And I will be here for one more. So God bless you from the heartland, and keep it here.
Family Talk.